Welcome back to the Athenaeum Review podcast. Our guest today is Zsuzsanna Osvat, and we're talking about modernism and poetry in Hungary. And when they found it, there was a book of poems that he'd been writing as late as
that,
his last
week. I am sorry, I don't have it here.
Is that were the postcards?
Yes.
Are those last two?
They are the last two poems.
Yeah.
But he had 10 poems
okay.
in the pocket of his raincoat.
Yeah.
And these so-called Razglednicas, is a Serbian title. So they are, there are four Razglednicas. The first is missing, the second is missing from here. But if you have time, I can start looking for. Oh no! I mean,
oh,
here
it's
it
here,
is.
Yeah.
It is worthwhile to listen to all the four.
Okay.
They are really very short, but they were found in the pocket of his raincoat. Yeah, it is May 19. Yes, it starts here.
Okay.
These are the problems. The seventh eclogue that is in Lager Heidenau in the mountain above Zagubica, and that is in Yugoslavia. He was taken to Yugoslavia. Letter to my wife. These two.
So he was writing through all throughout this experience. He was
and
writing
and he was writing. That it was very difficult to write because number one, he didn't have a pen, nor did he have anything to write on.
Yeah.
So someone must have given him a calendar.
Yeah.
And he wrote on that calendar.
Wow.
And so here is a route. Here is a la recherche, that is to his wife, and then. Here is the eighth eclogue. I think there are 10 poems.
Wow.
And here is the first march as he writes about how they walk back. And look at it. I mean, there is this broken line.
So there's two parts in each line and...
Yes,
yeah.
Two parts in each line. And it reminds you also of a German poem, but it is also, it shows the kind of despair and not belonging together.
Yeah, yeah.
And then these are the Razglednicas, which means in... Serb language picture postcards.
Okay.
And so as they passed that town, he wrote in the mountain, August 30th, 1944, Červenka, it is one of the towns, as they walk by, Mohács, they are already in Hungary.
Mm.
And Szent Király Szabadja, also Hungary.
Okay.
And this is his last poem.
Okay. Do you want to read these?
Or the four, or just the last?
Sure, all the four.
Rolling from Bulgaria, the brutal cannonade, because they were shooting by cannons.
Yeah.
Slams at the ranges to hesitate and fade. Men and beasts and carts and thoughts are jammed into one. Neighing, the road rears up, the main sky will run. And you are the only constant in the changing and the mess. You shine on eternal beneath my consciousness. Mute as an angel, wondering at the catastrophe, or the beetle of burial from his hole in a dead tree. So he speaks to his wife.
Yeah.
So they are just starting out. And now they pass that town called Cervenka that is still in Yugoslavia. At 9 kilometers, the pall of burning Hayvik homestead farm. At the field's edge, the peasants, silent, smoking pipes against the fear of harm. Here, a lake ruffled only by the step of a tiny shepherdess, where a white cloud is, but the ruffled sheep drink in their lowliness. The next one is already in Hungary. The oxen drool saliva mixed with blood. Each one of us is urinating blood. The squad stands about in knots, stinking, mad. Death hideous is blowing overhead. I mean, they were all, you know, I asked my daughter, who is a doctor, why does he say that each one of us urinates blood? Yeah. And she told me that if you walk for unlimited time, yeah, and you are driven,
yeah,
to walk for, you know, 80 miles,
yeah,
or what,
yeah,
that this is what happens,
okay,
that one urinates blood.
Yeah.
And this one is the last one.
Yeah.
If anyone couldn't get up or wanted to stay, he was shot.
Yeah.
So this is what it is. And then here something terribly interesting is happening in the last poem. He speaks about how people are shot, and he uses a German sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is that he didn't march with Germans.
Right.
That he marched with Hungarians.
Right.
And that he wanted, in his last moment when he was tortured to death, he wanted somehow to take away the responsibility of the Hungarians.
Wow.
So there you will hear a German sentence, which in German says, he's still alive.
Uh-huh.
But it is in German and not in Hungarian.
Wow, wow.
I fell beside him, and his corpse turned over, tight already as a snapping string, shot in the neck. And that's how you'll end too, I whisper to myself. Lie still, no moving. Now patience flowers in death. Then I could hear der Schwimmen rauf above, and very near, blood mixed with mud was drying on my ear.
And those were the ones that were found in,
yes,
his notebook. Wow.
Together with six other ones that he wrote before.
Wow. I believe you pointed out that well before the Holocaust, the war,
yeah,
all of this, he had this sense of kind of disaster or destruction.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about where that came from in his poetry? And
it's difficult to know where it came from. I mean, the very fact, you know, to be a Hungarian poet somehow was the highest place in the world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hungarian poets, because of this history, were looked upon as the speakers for freedom, the speakers of freedom, the speakers of the unification of Hungary, the,
yeah,
speakers of the good.
Yeah.
And so this view was really a major, put the poets into a major position, very strange, very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, in Germany too, they had the poets were looked upon as a special set of people. Right. But in Hungary, they were not only looked upon as a special set of people, they were looked upon as, you know, the inhabitants of that
right.
victorious and beautiful past.
Right.
And the speakers for the Hungarian nation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you read today an American poet, even if you love him, you don't have a feeling that he's the speaker
right.
of the American nation.
Right, right.
But this was this, you know, I don't know, you want to call fairy tale or you want to say this understandable belief,
yeah.
but it was that. So he played a special role after the war.
Yeah.
When, you know, it was not a point anymore what religion you have.
Yeah.
And so he was very much celebrated.
Wow.
And thought of very highly, but it was not admitted that he was shot by Hungarians.
Okay.
They, you know, as he speaks in German
right,
here.
Right.
So it was for the longest time.
Right.
You know, the belief that they were Germans who have shot him.
Wow.
But they were Hungarians.
So it worked, his plan, yeah.
That's right.
We also have a couple of poems by Josef. I wondered if you might read one or two of those as well.
Sure.
We have just the English ones. Is it okay?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Attila József is really a giant.
Yeah.
A poet the like of which is really very rare in
yeah.
the world.
Yeah.
He had a very difficult childhood, as one would say today. His father left his mother.
Yeah.
And she stayed alone with him, and later on she married someone and she had an other child. But for the time being, it was he who was her child, and she had to go and work as a maid, and he was left alone, and
yeah.
he went through terrible pain. And then he became this incredible poet, but he understandably hated the system and confessed to be a communist.
Right.
He was as great a communist as you are or I am, but he confessed to be one because he found the world
right.
as unjust. And, you know, just in a nutshell to tell about him, but he loved his mother over everything, and
yeah.
he was in love with some women too, but he loved his mother, and he hoped to be the great poet
yeah.
of his country.
Yeah.
But he was very much against the system.
Yeah.
And he was against those people who were very great and wonderful poets, but who were not against the system.
Right.
So at that time in Hungary, I don't know what it is today, but at that time in Hungary, there was a very closely knit group of poets and writers
yeah.
who felt as very important in the history of their country.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, going back to centuries, you know, I mean, the poet is the one who speaks the
yeah,
soul
yeah.
of the country. And so, you know, neither would you like it or I like it if someone starts to speak against me or starts to speak against
right.
you, you know. Even if you can understand that he wants to be the great poet and he's
yeah.
a very young man.
Yeah.
And this Babich, Mihály Babich, he was very much a very famous and accepted poet, a very wonderful poet, but he also was the speaker of the not only the nation, but also of the system.
Yeah.
And so Attila turned against him, and that didn't help him in his career.
Right.
But here he's just starting out, a young man, and speaking, you know, that he is the great poet and that everyone should listen to him. I mean, you know, okay. I mean,
yeah.
You okay. would say today a child.
Right, right.
But, you know, that time, I mean, one, although one doesn't approve of it, one can understand it.
Right, right, right.
So the title of this one is With a Pure Heart. Oh, I haven't mentioned, but I should have, that he committed suicide at the age of 35, I think.
Right.
With a pure heart, fatherless and motherless, godless in my statelessness. Neither crib nor shroud have I, kiss nor lover's lullaby. 3 days, three, I've fasted three. What is bread to such as me? My 20 years shall prevail. My 20 years are up for sale. If nobody wants to buy, devil take them, then, say I. With a pure heart, I would steal it. If needed, I could kill. Catch me, hang me on a tree. Earth is blessed that covers me. Grave grass on my heart yet grows. Heart as lovely as a rose.
Wow. And he was expelled from the university.
Expelled from the university.
Yeah.
And there is a wonderful poem, you don't have it here, in which he speaks about that, about how he was expelled. I have no idea where it is. Anyway.
Well, I wanted to ask you also about your memoir, and you know, we've been listening to this poetry, and it sounds like so when in your childhood, when you were there in Budapest, while all this was going on, the war and then the Holocaust, it sounds like literature and music were really important. And I wondered if you could just tell us a little bit about that and what that was like.
Well, I mean, I grew up when I was 2 years old and 3 years old and 4 years old. My mother read to me poetry, not poems like that, but there are many poems written to children in Hungary because somehow poetry had, and I don't know whether or not it still has, but poetry had played such a special role in Hungarian culture, and especially in certain people's lives, and so my parents belonged to that, and so my father played chamber music. We had every week at night a chamber music night, and you know, also poetry played a very big role. So I had I listened to poems ever since I can remember, and so that was the reason for my... No, I am sorry. What was your exact question?
Oh, it was generally to speak, well, both literature and music, how you your experience of that during the time when you were living through this happened.
Well, you know, it was a basic experience of mine from little on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Germans came in 1944.
Yeah.
But even before, I knew about many things, not everything. I didn't know about gas chambers, and I didn't know, you know, that all my classmates will be killed, and I didn't know about many things. But I did know that the Germans are against us and that we would be killed.
Right.
You know, then when, you know, my father was this great chemist and this musician, and yeah, my mother also this great musician, singing all the time Schubert songs. So it in a way, it was unconceivable and yet yeah, the truth.
Yeah.
And so I have heard horror stories as we walked on the streets. Various friends of my parents stopped us, and some of them knew what happens. And I mean, they didn't want me to hear it, so they sent me away, but then I still got some of that. And
yeah,
a little bit later, my brother and they, my parents, were listening constantly to the voice of America and to the British radio. And, you know, then I was supposed to stand at the window and to watch whether or not a car comes by, because they could get it if you were listening to the radio.
Yeah.
They could somehow, they had some machines, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was standing there at the window, and I was aware of the terrible danger. And then some people fled from Austria, who were, one of them was Jewish, the other one was not Jewish. But they fled because they said the war comes.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I just was little, but I heard everything, and I was very much afraid. And then the yeah, Germans came in
yeah,
in the March 19th, 1944.
Yeah.
And so then I thought that we all will be dying and so on. And so I was very much aware of all of that that happens. But I didn't know, of course, nobody knew, just a very few people, about the concentration camps and
yeah,
the gas and
yeah,
and the burning of people. So, but I knew that they are going to kill us.
Yeah.
So much I knew.
This is the Athenaeum Review podcast, and our guest today is Dr. Zsuzsanna Ošvát. Thank you very much for speaking with us today. Athenaeum Review podcast is produced by Creative Disturbance and the UT Dallas School of Arts and Humanities. Find out more at creativedisturbance.org.